Thanks so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Glad to see you today. I know I sound awful, but I feel fine for the most part. But I'm good to go, and I'm really glad to see you today. Welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. And we are in a message series, teaching-wise, from the very short, succinct, and most practical book in the New Testament, the book of James. And I told you when we started this that this is the kind of book where it's just really in your face. And today's message is the kind of message where you really need to fasten your seatbelt as James talks to us about really our dirty little secret that we sometimes don't want to put out there, but it's true. You know, one of the nicest things that could ever be said about any church is this: that church has no class whatsoever. Just a no-class church. I really hope that can be said of us, that we are a church with no class whatsoever, and that it's intended as a compliment. From James chapter 2, we start at verse 1. Here we go. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. All right? What is favoritism? I'd put it up here on the screen. Favoritism is accepting and rejecting people based on differences that make no difference to God. Favoritism is where we favor some people over others based on superficial differences that make no difference to God. Or we sort of gravitate towards some and gravitate away from others based on what I think I can personally gain from that person. And favoritism is where we reject a person based on things that I sure wouldn't want God to reject me over. I mean, how would you like it if God looked at you and said, hey, I'm sorry, I'm only going to accept people of a certain skin color or a certain skill set or a certain IQ? This is our dirty little secret. Discrimination. Bigotry. Favoritism. Racism. Now, you're not going to say it out loud. Nobody out loud is going to say, you know, I don't like white people. Nobody out loud is going to say, you know, I don't like black people. Nobody, you're not going to go to Sunday school and say that. But it's our dirty little secret. It happens. It happens in churches. And James will have nothing to do with somebody who says, oh, that's just the way I was raised. That's our culture. That's just sort of who I am. He will have nothing to do with that. Romans 2:11, for God does not show favoritism. I mean, here's our dirty little secret. Almost everybody in this room walks around with an unpublished list in our minds of certain people, certain kinds of people that we like, and certain kinds of people we could just as soon do without. A list of desirables and a list of undesirables. And we make these judgments, these superficial judgments, based on things like appearance, money, educational levels, educational styles, whether or not somebody's white collar, whether or not somebody's blue collar, their weight or lack thereof. Again, you're not going to go to Sunday school and say this out loud. And do I even need to mention, hey, is that a Tennessee shirt you're wearing? That is one of the finest Christian men I have ever seen in my life right there. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Not that I'm trying to single you out and play favorites, you know. Okay. Where was I? All right. I mean, and do I even need to mention skin color or political parties where with just one broad stroke we can white out an entire group of people? James says that all partiality, all bigotry, all racism, all discrimination, all favoritism, it needs to be rooted out of our hearts and our hearts transformed by the love of Jesus. But it is so easy, isn't it, to look at somebody's life situation and have a discriminatory spirit before you even engage in a conversation with that person. You don't know anything about their circumstance. You don't know anything about their background. I've done that. I'm ashamed of, I've done that. And maybe you have too. One of the biggest sins a church can commit is to put up a sign that says, "Welcome," when we all know that's not true. It's our dirty little secret. So James paints a little story for us, starting verse 2. He says, "Now suppose someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring, like this one, and fine clothes, like these, and a poor person in filthy old clothes," not just old clothes, filthy, haven't been washed, filthy old clothes, also comes in. "And if you so show special attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say, 'Well, now here's a good seat for you,' but you say to the one who's poor, 'You stand there,' or 'You sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" He says, look, you've placed a value on certain people that God does not recognize, and you're sizing folks up based on externals, appearances, material possessions. God has gone to great lengths to love every person. God has gone to great lengths to make you one in Christ. And now you're drawing conclusions based on differences that make no difference to God. And when favoritism occurs, it bothers God more than you know. Favoritism is completely inconsistent with the DNA of Christ's church. It's completely inconsistent with the DNA of Christ's church. God wants his church classless. Verse 5, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong?" Hey, have you read that little book, The Millionaire Next Door? It's a great little book that talks about that there are so many, you know, millionaires in our nation, but you would never know how rich they are just by looking at them. James says, you can't tell how rich in faith a person is just by looking at their skin color, or their car, or their clothes. And there are people in your midst that in the world's eyes may not be that important, but in God's eyes they are spiritual aristocrats, rich in faith. James says, you've insulted the ones that God thinks ought to be honored. Favoritism is no small matter, no small matter. And so he says, verse 8, if you really keep the royal law. Now, question, what's the royal law? Answer, it's royal because it reigns over all the others. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, which is love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. We got that? But if you show favoritism, you sin, and you're convicted by the law as lawbreakers. All right, so James says, royal law reigns over all the others, which that's love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show favoritism, you're breaking that royal law, and you're a lawbreaker. What's your list? Okay. I've made a little list here of... our collective dirty little secret. Folks that we just like, folks we just sort of do without, superficially. You ready? Here we go. For some of you, it's sort of an inverted snobbery. You came driving in the parking lot today and you saw a luxury car and there you just copped a little attitude. You don't know why. You just copped a little attitude. You just don't like somebody who drives a luxury car. You just don't like somebody who drives a car nicer than yours. For some of you, it's poor people. And you assume they're lazy, don't have what it takes. For others, you just don't really like people who are overweight. For others, you just don't like people who are really thin. Older single girls don't really like younger single girls. Hey, leave the territory alone. Younger single guys may not like older single guys. You had your chance. Some of you may not like black people. You're not going to say that. Again, you're not going to your Bible class to say that. Some of you don't like white people. Some of you don't like folks who are Middle Eastern. And when you walk in, you may... By the way, if somebody who has been on your little list were to come in church and sit around you, would they come back and visit again because of you? Some of you may not like... You may have an attitude against those who are divorced. You don't know anything about the situation. You just hear that and it's a blanket sweep. Some of you have an attitude about single moms. Before you know anything of the story. Some of you have an attitude about people that have bad tastes. I just don't like their taste. Not my kind of person. Maybe God needs to have a bad taste category, you know. Some of you have an attitude about stay-at-home moms. What a waste of time. Some of you have an attitude about moms who work. If she really loved her child. Some of you disrespect people who send their children to public school. Some of you disrespect people who send their children to private school. Some of you disrespect people who homeschool. Some of you cop an attitude about, you know, an athlete. You see some young-looking, handsome, muscular guy, and you just cop an attitude. I know, because I felt it from you for years. But I am so over that now. I got to tell you, I have dealt with it. I have dealt with it. Some of you just artsy people. All artsy people. You know? People with tattoos. People without tattoos. You see somebody in a business suit, it's like, you know, loosen up. Everything. Why are you wearing the... You know, it's casual. You don't have to wear the dark suit and the white shirt. You just cop an attitude about it. Age, too old, too young. Some of you have an attitude about people who aren't good with tools. You know, if he can't use a chainsaw or hammer and nails or no matter what the other skill sets are, you know, you just cop an attitude about that. White collar, blue collar, you know, it has dirty fingernails, it grease in the fingernails, just not my kind of people. Somebody who has lots of kids. I mean, why would you want to have six kids, seven kids? Some of you have an attitude about somebody who has one child. Or none. I could go on and on. You're not going to go to church for long before you bump into somebody in some category that you cop a little attitude about, and God in heaven is going, let me get this straight. you were going to hell, and I forgave you of your sins, and now you're coming in here making all these distinctions over, what is it again? Fashion? Skin color? And besides that, you're drawing conclusions about people. You don't even know them. You don't know their circumstances. You don't know their stories. And you've made judgment calls with almost no evidence. What if I treated you that way, says God? What if the only way to be saved would be a certain ethnic group or a certain IQ or a certain skill set or a certain skin color? James says, we need to feel convicted about this. It's our dirty little secret. And do not give me this. Well, that's the way I was raised. Listen, you weren't raised perfectly. That's just the way I am. You have now been raised with Christ. And we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And James says, verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you become a lawbreaker. What he's saying here is that we tend to want to put favoritism on our not-so-bad list. Murder? Check. That's a sin. Adultery? Check. That's a sin. Favoritism? That's really not so bad. James says, yes, it is. It violates the royal law. It violates the one that reigns over all the others. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he gives us a solution. And I'm really glad that the solution is not, you know, change how you feel, because you can't really change how you feel. But what you can do, make some choices. And here's his solution is as follows. Just treat all and receive all like Jesus treats us. The simple solution is when you run into a person that you just want to steer away from, the solution is that when you bump into that person, you just find that thing in you that wants to make a judgment call, but what you do is you're going to steer away from that and you're going to love that person and treat that person the way you would want somebody to treat you, the way you would want Jesus to treat you. And instead of seeing jeans and khakis and an older or newer or no ring on or who is she or what does he do, or you just love that person the way you would want to be loved and cared for. You put on God's glasses, a new set of lenses, you think differently, and you use your faith in a way that makes a real difference. Now, here's the good news. The good news is I do not have a real-life illustration of favoritism here. I can't point you to But trust me, it's our dirty little secret. And even though I can't point to one, James says, be aware of this. Verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who's not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He says, some of you, all your life, you've been walking along like a Simon Cowell, judging everybody. Too short, too much makeup, not enough makeup, too flashy, not flashy enough, too thin. You've been walking around talking like you're a judge instead of talking like somebody who's going to be judged. And you have forgotten that nobody's really accountable to you. Nobody really answers to you. Don't speak like you're the judge. Speak like somebody who's going to be judged. And it's like, you know, I read this story or I listen to this sermon, and it's so easy for me to want to sit here and go, well, I'll tell you who needs that. I'll tell you who needs to hear this. James says, no. It's your dirty little secret. It's your unsavory little secret. And instead of wanting to judge another person, start with yourself and make this decision to lean into mercy. And when you find those situations where you got to lean one way or another, lean in to mercy. Because it's evidence that you understand the basis by which God is dealing with you and accepting you. Okay, so this morning, you want to take a giant step forward in your faith? Then face this dirty little secret. Ask God to renew you and to renew your spirit of brotherly love. And let's be a church that doesn't see clothes and cars and colors. Let's be the one place on the planet. Let's be the one group around where everybody is a somebody and everybody is actually a VIP. That's who you are in God's eyes. Jesus would have shed every single drop of his blood just for you. Red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. And so how we treat each other, how we serve each other, how we value one another, how we refuse to show favoritism, that's incredibly important. And we honor Jesus, who died and rose to make us one. Now, I want you to pay attention to our screens and listen to the stories of a couple of our members, and then we'll pray.
I was involved in a medical research study some years ago, and I'd gotten wind of a woman who had some significant reservations, so I called her. We talked at length about what her concerns were, and I was able to answer a host of questions that she had. And at the end of the conversation, she says, I will take part in this study. Well, she comes in, and I'm the one that greeted her at the clinic. Well, following her examinations and all the different follow-up questions, she says to me, Madeline, I really would love to meet that woman that I spoke with on the phone. She really is the reason that I'm here. She answered so many of my questions. She was so intelligent. She was just so articulate. I just want to thank her for inviting me and really making the difference. And I asked her, well, what was her name? And she said, oh, her name was Miss Mobley. So I smiled. I said, well, that was me. And she said to me, with a sort of perplexing look on her face, well, it couldn't have been you. She was so articulate. She was so knowledgeable. She was white. And I said, no, it was me. Thank you so much for that compliment. Well, after she left, I couldn't help but feel she thought I was white. Just because I was articulate and because I was intelligent, why couldn't I have been black? I was just being me.
Anytime I have been discriminated or have been stereotyped, it makes me mad. It makes me upset, it makes me angry, because people judge me based on my appearance, based on what I look like, but they don't get to know me, they don't know more about me, because they don't give me the opportunity to do that.
I think sometimes, unfortunately, as an African American, you can be put in situations where you feel I need to be better, because right off the cuff, someone might be prejudging just by visually looking at me. But when you come into a situation where a person obviously is accepting you for you, it's very refreshing, and you feel, I can let down my guard. I can just be me.
My faith helps me a lot to forgive people and to love them, even though sometimes I don't feel the love coming from them. But God calls me to love one another, and I need to practice my faith. I need to practice what I believe in by moving on and letting those people get to know me on who I am.
Don't you appreciate them sharing their stories in that regard? I know I do. If you would please take out your order of worship, and you'll see your communication card. I invite everybody to fill out that communication card, members and guests alike. You can indicate a desire to talk with someone here about baptism, about membership. You can also share with us prayer requests, and it is the privilege of a number of our church leaders that during the week, those prayer requests that you submit, they are prayed over, and it's our privilege to do so. And so in the space provided, just submit those prayer requests, and once you fill out that communication card, just pass it to the ends of the aisle, and they'll be collected here in just a moment. Let's pray. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then if you need to use this prayer time to finish filling out the card, please do so. Lord God, you make us one. And in this room today, there are so many differences among us. We come from a lot of different backgrounds, church backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. We've got different ethnic groups represented in the church. So many differences, and there's actually nothing like this in the world. And we want, as a church family, to really be a shining example for you in this world. And I ask God that you would keep any spirit that creates barriers out of the church, out of this church. We believe in the value of friendships, but we certainly don't want to become an exclusive club. We want to remain open. And Lord, the great news is that you receive us. You're open to us. And every person here is precious to you. And in honor of Jesus, I pray that we would never see colors or clothes or cars, but that we would be a church family without favoritism. And Lord God, if there's somebody in this room today that feels like that they've been forgotten, that maybe you've forgotten where they live because they're maybe in a place right now that's just the way they feel, we are reminded, God, that we have infinite value in you. And we thank you for the value you've placed on our life. And we will not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but neither will we think of ourselves more lowly than we ought. And together we will accept and we will receive one another, not judging as the world judges, but affirming one another in love and supporting one another, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you for making us one. And may that spirit shine in this church family. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.